Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. Tonight is March 23rd, and I'm Julia Cannon, and oh my goodness, welcome spring, finally. Oh, isn't it beautiful outside? Well, it is here anyway. I hope it is where you are. It is gorgeous. It's like all of everything just came into bloom all at once. My trees out here just gorgeously just poofed out. I have some Bradford pears lining my driveway, and they just, oh my gosh, they're gorgeous. And I have some, I'm not sure what this is out on the side of my house, but it's some kind of an ornamental apple tree, and it's got the same kind of clusters of flowers, and they're just crowning. They're so majestic. And when I drive into my house, there are these great, big, beautiful white, you know, trees of clusters of flowers, and they're just so beautiful. I love this time of year. The weather is starting to get just a little warmer, and it's so nice. I don't have to wear the jackets all the time, and I, you know, start shedding some clothes. It's so nice. I absolutely love this time of year, and everything's coming out, and it's the birth. It's, you know, it's new, fresh. Can you tell? I like this time. Anyway, so we have, I'd like to welcome you all here. Thank you for coming. we have a bunch of things coming up. Just around the corner, my goodness, it's all coming. We have our classes, the QHHT classes. We have the Level 1 Companion. It's April the 9th to the 11th. And at the same time, we have our level 3 class, and that's already full. And then we have the level 2 class, April 16th to the 19th. And then right between those clusters of classes, we have our long anticipated annual. This is our 31st annual Ozark Mountain UFO Conference. So, I mean, that is our big to-do here. And our guest tonight has been here. Well, he's been here several of them, haven't you, Race? I'll bring you here. He's, gosh, we wouldn't do this without you, with Race. You have been our, here again, I call you our lifeline. He's with KTRA Radio, and he's got his finger on the pulse of everything going on in the UFO community, and he knows probably most of these speakers, but he just knows everything that's going on out there, and he's the one that keeps us in touch and is able to make sure that we know what's going on and make sure that we get the best speakers that are out there. So thank you, Race. Everyone, Race Hopps with KGRA Radio. And thank you for being here, Race.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor every year to get to sit down with you and talk to your listeners. It's always a privilege.
Oh, it's an honor to have you. Thank you.
We did get to do a little show live from one of the investigations we did.
That's right,
you did. Yeah, right down in Meenan. It was such a mm-hmm. pleasure to have you come down.
Oh, that was so much fun. I'd like to talk about that a little bit. You know, in fact, we can kind of go off a little bit and do that.
Sure.
Because that was fun to see how, you know, we did that talk before we even went out. That was right. I just got there. I think I was there maybe all of 5 minutes, and then we did the show. And I mean, I just met the couple, and we were getting ready to go. I mean, I just got there. I was like, here we go.
That's true. That, you rolled up to the, you know, to the cabin there and unloaded a few things. And we had just, I think we had just finished eating, and we were trying to, you know, figure out how we, you know, what to get you, what, you know, what you wanted to eat. And then the next thing I know, you were going live on the radio in the kitchen.
I know. The funniest thing that was, is there was no, there was very little internet out there. I think we did that show on my hotspot.
you fantastically and very, you know, technically astute, the phone to your laptop, And I was very impressed. I mean, and you did it in literally a minute or two. I mean, you didn't have a whole lot of time. It was just a couple of minutes, and you had a signal, and you were connected to the mighty BBS studios, and away you went.
I was frantic.
Well, you sure seemed calm and cool under pressure from what I saw. So, it was a good, 3 days that we spent, 3-4 days down there, in Mena, Arkansas. We had a case come to our desk here up in Fort Smith, Arkansas, from, a lady that actually had, she kept my card. I had investigated several cases down in Mena when I was involved with the Mutual UFO Network. And, as an investigator, we sort of pass those cards around, freely in abundance. You know, here, take 4, 5. You may have a friend,
Right.
And luckily, she had gone to this crystal mine down there and befriended the owners of this crystal mine. And they had had a light anomaly event take place on that crystal mine one night when their son was in from California visiting them. And they called up the one lady that they knew that was interested in that kind of, UFOs and that kind of stuff. And she had my card. And so she gave them my number and my information. They contacted me, and that's the beginning of the story. We descended. I called one of the speakers that will be at the conference in April, Chase Kletsky. She was actually my boss in the investigation team I was working with in MUFON last year. And so I called her up down in Georgia, and she literally, grabbed her go bag, and we deployed down to Mena, and we were there within 20 hours. And on site, we were able to talk with the witnesses and learn what they saw and when they saw it, where they saw it. And he had closed the mine and literally cordoned off this whole section of the mine where this light came from. And because it's a public mine where you, me, or anyone can go up there and, we can pay a little fee and we can go out and dig for crystals, quartz crystals. So he had very astutely, closed it off. His concern was safety. When he talked to me on the phone, and this was something that really, turned my ear. He was concerned about safety for his patrons and for the folks that come to dig for these crystals, because when he went up there the next morning to see where this might have happened and what it could have been and everything, because this happened, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, the night before. So as soon as the sun came up, he was out there.
What time of year it was when that happened?
It was in February.
Okay. So it would have been dark at that time.
Oh yeah. Goodness. Yeah. Plenty dark. And so we went out to where he had found this spot where some T-posts, fence posts that hold barbed wire fence, they're metal posts. There was 4 of them, and they were all bent away, like bent, back in the same direction. He had a temporary metal fence gate across a road that led to where this dig had began, because he had a road that went through his land up there, and he actually found a vein of crystal that crossed that road. So as he followed that vein of crystal and digging, they had dug down about 3, 4, 5 feet, pretty good sized trench, into a big open pit. And they didn't want anyone, out there driving and just not paying attention and drive off into it. So he put up a temporary metal gate across it. And this was about 50 feet on the other side of where these T-posts were. Mm-hmm. And it had been laid over and twisted, and a bucket, they had a pail of water that they cleaned their crystals out in. It was sitting on a rock on a slope, just about 20 feet from the dig site, and it had tipped over uphill. And all of the tools, the metal tools that were down in the pit, their picks and their chisels and and their hammers and that kind of thing were all moved equally. Like, they had laid down black mats to put under their knees, you know, because they're in the rock and that kind of thing. And those mats really protect their legs and knees when they're knelt down doing their work. And that's where they had laid their tools when they left. And that had been a, you know, that had been several weeks just sitting there. And there had been some, because they hadn't been up there digging in, you know, in a good while. So the rain had washed all the dirt and dust off of the tools and made a perfect outline of all the tools on that black mat. Hmm. And when he got there, he saw that all of those tools had moved about 8 inches in the same direction, all of them equidistant from where they were sitting originally. So suffice it to say, everything metal got manipulated in whatever this had, whatever had happened up there. And this, you know, this guy was, he was retired military, and he had also worked for, he had also worked for the U.S. government and retired. And he, you know, he was originally from the West Coast, from California, but he had came to Arkansas on a vacation several years ago, and he and his wife loved it so much, they decided to retire here. So they came down on another trip, found some land, bought it, 60 acres at 70 acres, 80 acres, I think. And they bought it and then moved down here to retire. And they were actually going to make a, like an RV park out of it, because down there in those Ouachita Mountains down there, there's a lot of ATV trails and parks down there that are really, people come from far and wide to ride on these trails and explore the, you know, the national forest out there. Mm-hmm. And so he was going to start an RV park there. And when he bought a dozer and started to cut the pads for the, you know, for the RVs and for the campsites, that's when he found the crystals in the ground. So that, you know, that's how he discovered all of this. And in that, you know, in that discovery, he, you know, he really just decided to make a mine out of it. And so, you know, his concern when he found this metal moved and from this light anomaly they had seen, he was concerned about the, you know, his, the people that come there. It wasn't like he was all talking UFOs and he saw a UFO, or it wasn't nothing like that, Julia. It was simply, they were sitting on the deck, and they had he and his son had seen some orbs moving through the trees, light orbs moving around out there. At first they thought it was somebody, you know, with flashlights out there moving around through the trees. Mm-hmm. And that was their first initial thought. And as they got to looking, they were off the ground. He could tell, he knew that land like the back of his hand. Okay. And so these lights were up off the ground, and he could tell that they were moving through the trees, and the, you know, that the lights would blink off when they moved behind big trees. And so they just were sitting there just sort of, you know, just in awe of what they were seeing. And then all of a sudden the whole ridge back there just lit up like, almost like when, you know, if you've ever seen a transformer in a lightning storm,
right? Yeah.
You know how they light up the sky real pretty turquoise, yeah, blue, green color. Mm-hmm. Well, it was just like that, but it was just pure white light. And it was lit up for like 7 seconds. And then all of a sudden, three big columns of light came shooting up from the ground, and they went up into the air so far and then stopped. It wasn't like they went up like a spotlight and just kind of faded off in the distance. They literally had an end to them. Like they were, I don't know, shining on a piece of glass or something. Hmm. And you could see them just end. And so that's what he told me. When we got there, we saw the site. We saw the, you know, we did the investigation through and through, photographed the whole area, measured everything. We took radiation scans across, you know, the entire volume of the land where it had happened and outside of it. We did K2 meters and, you know, and we just did everything, you know, we could think of and documented and detailed everything in the report. And so after we had left, we took samples, control samples and samples from within, water samples, soil samples, stone samples, crystal samples. And we sent all of these off to our labs. We used various labs, and the crystals went to Denver. And, you know, we just kind of sent all this stuff out and waited on everything to come back while we were doing, you know, USGS and Arkansas Geological Survey work and research to see if there was any, you know, earthquake or seismic anomalies, and looking for, you know, geomagnetic, you know, all this stuff, just everything you can think of. And we could not nail down with any certainty what caused it. But, you know, these folks would continue to call us, you know, every couple of weeks, it seemed like, seeing these lights out in these trees. And they didn't see the big bright light anymore, but they were seeing these orbs out there in the forest. And they were getting, you know, they were pretty frequent. And he was like, Race, I've lived here 6 years, and I just wasn't paying attention, or after seeing this happen, now all I do is look out there for, you know, that is what happened. Look, yeah. It's like this. I kind of attribute it to this, Julia. If you're, say, walking at the park or at Walmart or anywhere, and you happen to look down and see $100 bill folded up on the ground, and you reach down and pick it up, and it's like, holy man, this is a real $100 bill sitting there. And you just kind of look around, and no one's around, and no one, you know, so I'm just going to put it in my pocket and go on. Mm-hmm. When you find a $100 bill laying on the ground, you'll start looking on the ground more.
Exactly. You're being more aware. You pay more attention to things.
That's right. That's exactly right. So that's kind of how it goes, naturally speaking. Mm-hmm. And so we just thought we needed to go back and reinvestigate the case and do a follow-up investigation and see if, you know, we wanted to bring, because we did not have the equipment at the first investigation that we had at the time for the second. Because I had actually resigned from the Mutual UFO Network, and the KGRA was going to start doing our own investigations, because we have a lot of people that send us emails and correspondence about events and things that have happened, things that they've seen. And, you know, like just much like you, you know, people reach out to us for advice or counsel or direction. Yeah. So we just thought that's what we would do. So when the KGRA investigation team went back to investigate, we had 4K cameras, thermal, night vision. We had, you know, a lot more tools in the toolbox, and we wanted to go up there and do night investigations and film. And we literally set up static cameras that just ran all night.
That was impressive equipment.
Well, I tell you, it was just a really good time. And, you know, then I had that moment with you on the stage where
I wondered if you wanted to talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, that, you know, this is what I'm talking about when it comes to paranormal or supernatural or whatever term sort of or label you want to put on it.
Yeah.
When things happen that are out of the ordinary, you know, that is just what they are. They're just out of the ordinary. They're just moments or instances or events that happen. And you sort of have to embrace them, because if you don't, sometimes they can disrupt your life in such a way that you almost never find your way back. And I've dealt with that in the UFO investigation and research over the past 30 years more than I would care to admit. I think really that has been the biggest reward, Julia, for me when it comes to UFOs, because, you know, you actually, you know, when I first started doing this, there, you know, this was all library research and correspondence through snail mail. There was no internet. There was no Google. You know, there was none of that, you know.
Right. So, yeah, newspapers and.
Yes. I mean, literally going to the library and looking through volumes and volumes of newspaper articles. To try to pull out, you know, stuff from history and in the past. And then, of course, books and that thing. Yeah. So, you know, back then especially, I would say in the last 10 years, in the last 10 to 15 years, UFOs have become so prevalent on television and more, you know, there were shows years ago called Sightings that were produced by Linda Moulton Howe. Thankfully, we had people like her, Emmy Award-winning investigative journalists, that were doing really good work. Right. And, you know, they had contacts and pull with production companies and in media, and were able to put together good shows like that, that, you know, we were just glued to our TV every time it came on. Sort of like people do X-Files today. Mm-hmm. But this was 25, 30 years ago. And, then came the History Channel and UFO Files and all that. But people just didn't know where to turn. You couldn't call the police. I mean, people did all the time. And though those guys were some of the best resources I had for collecting reports and names of people that that I could call on to come investigate their case and that kind of thing years ago when I was independent. Mm-hmm. And so when these things happen, just having somebody that you can tell your story to, right, that's just as sane as you are, and it's just, and you, there's no ridicule, there's no laugh factor there. It's a serious deal. That right there can comfort people in a way that, really goes a long way. People see things and things happen to people, and it can be so profound that they just can't get their mind off of it. It really consumes them. And, when you think about one thing too long, it can either make you a billionaire or it can ruin you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or so, make you go crazy.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. So that was the biggest reward for me, was just being an ear for someone to talk to. Mm-hmm. And to let them know that, you know, there are those of us out here that do believe that this stuff happens, and you're not crazy. You're not insane. This doesn't just happen to you. It happens to thousands of people all over the country and, in fact, worldwide. So, you know, helping people on that level, because very rarely do we come up with any real answers. Most of these cases are open-ended and undone, and will remain an open case. I know for all of the cases that I investigated in MUFON, I'm just trying to think of one that I closed out that was an actual UFO, you know, an unknown is what they call them. The mm-hmm. ones they can't debunk or recreate or find a natural answer to. Those are just unknowns. We don't know what it was. All we know is it's something that doesn't match flares or Chinese lanterns or the moon or planets or stars or airplanes or helicopters or hot air balloons or weather balloons or, you know, space shuttles, International Space Station. None of that matches, you know, what we're looking at here. So it's simply an unknown. So most of these cases are unsolved, really. I mean, it would take capturing an alien or a UFO.
Exactly. To solve the case. Okay. Look at what it would take to solve it.
Right. So that was, always really, that's been the biggest reward, is for those people that we've been able to settle their nerves and settle their, and calm them mm-hmm. in a time when, they're really beginning to lose it. So I learned early on that was probably the biggest part of, the responsibility of being an investigator in this subject. So then when you find yourself on an investigation and then weird stuff starts happening to you, the investigator, it's another challenge to try to hold it together for yourself, Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I can let you, go from there, but we were on the stage out there in Mena that night. Mm-hmm. And,
it was off to the, you're right. You just said there's something over here.
I kept hearing or feeling something in the dark.
Yeah. You were sensing something. You said there's something over. Yeah.
To the right of me. That's mm-hmm. right. That's right. And then, just kind of sitting there trying to, focus. And then all of a sudden it was like a big board popped or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, there's something there, something's telling me that they're over there. And then here you come.
And then what?
And then here you came.
Well, because I'm aware of energy, and so I thought, well, I'll just go see if I sense anything over here. Because it was like there's something over here.
Yeah, and you were to the left of me. We were mm-hmm. sitting here,
right?
And then you got up, you came around and went right over there towards the dark, right where I'm talking about. And I'm like, holy mackerel, she's right. But you were over there and you could sense it. You could feel
it. Yeah, I thought, well, I'll just see if I can feel it or whatever. And I could feel it. I could feel its boundaries, everything. So, yep, yeah, there's some here.
And, you know, a sort of long story short, mm-hmm. You know, in that moment that I was having there, I could smell flowers, like spring flowers.
So cool. That was so cool.
Yeah, and I could smell them like I had a fistful of them right under my nose. And I mean, it was literally that that clear. It was literally like, you know, those first yellow flowers that pop up. You're probably seeing them everywhere up there where you're at right now.
Yeah, the daffodils?
Yes, yeah. The daffodils. And I call them daisies, but they...
they're also called jonquils, or is it the Johnny jonquils or something like that?
And if I had had a fistful of those things right under my nose, it couldn't have been any stronger. It was that clear. It was really that clear.
No, you kept asking us if we were smelling flowers, and it's like, no. And you're like, I'm smelling flowers.
Well, I couldn't imagine. You know, it was, you know, well into the winter time, into the fall. I mean, it was chilly.
It was October, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, all the leaves are on the ground, and for the most part, and, you know, there's no flowers in bloom, so it's very dry, sort of kind of, you know, very dry and very crisp air. Mm-hmm. And that's about all you get. You're not going to get any florals at that time of the year here. No. And it was just as clear as could be. Just as clear as could be.
Yeah, and then what happened next?
Well, I don't remember. You know, I do remember the flowers, and I remember I could feel somebody to the right of me. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing I know, I don't know, a guy jumps up and says that a rock just fell out of the sky or something. That happened,
go ahead. You put your hand into the energy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. You do. You're tuned in. You're like, you know, you're like one of these big radio antennas we see that go a mile in the sky, and you can, you know, you're tuned into everything. And for me, it's just sort of like a newborn experience. I'm just in wonder at all of this, but, you know, you feel these, the hairs on your arm stand mm-hmm. on end, and you can feel temperature variation. And then, you know, you literally feel like it's, or to me, it was thicker. It felt like it was more thick, the environment where my arm passed through. Mm-hmm. And it's right there. It's right there in front of you. It's real, you know. And I tell you, you folks that have that gift, that your body and your mind is just it's sort of like a tuning fork for these energies and these things that are all around us. It's amazing the work that you guys do. I'm always impressed with you, and your mother was amazing. But in just the experience being so real and so vivid and being a part of it was something that was very special. It really was. It was something very unexpected. I never expected something like that to happen.
Well, and I remember that is when you put your hand in it, then you were able to receive messages at that point. I don't know if you remember the messages. That's not important, but I remember that you were receiving messages at that point. You knew things. And that's another cool thing. So, do you remember that you?
I seem to. With everything going on with us mm-hmm. that happened after that, because a lot of stuff happened.
A lot of stuff happened that whole weekend.
It did. You know, but it seemed like, if I remember right, it was a female And it was a female voice that I was getting. But it was an amazing experience, truly, truly amazing.
It was, it was very profound for you, yes. It was profound to be a witness of it.
Well, I it makes me nervous when I'm around you. I don't know what's going to happen next.
You grow and expand.
I just want to get new
abilities.
It's like the world just turns to like purple, blue, pink, yellow, green, red, orange smoke. You know, the world is just so much more vivid around you.
Yeah. You're just going to find who you really are.
Well, that is the journey of all journeys, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. And I'm still going down that road as we continue to pack and move to Salt Lake City.
Yeah,
the journey continues. I am leaving home, the homeland, one more time. I've lived in Michigan. I've lived in California. I've lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I've lived in Florida and lots of places. And I always in Texas and Dallas, Fort Worth. And I've always made my way back home, always. And, with my job with welding and pipe fitting and then in radio, both of those occupations, they require travel, if you want to make any money in life and have a job consistent, you have to pack up and move sometimes because the work will run out here and you have to go there. And so you can't really find yourself buying a home or settling down or anything like that. Well, 10 years ago, I decided I'm going to go ahead and buy a house. That way I've got to settle down. So that's
the universe
says, here I go again, but, it's going to be a whirlwind, adventure. And I'm looking forward to it as we move our studios in the KGRA headquarters to Salt Lake. And, we bought a big building down there and we're outfitting it with, we're going to do a production studio, Julia, where we can record musicians and artists and singers and bands and that kind of thing in one part of our studio and then run the station out of the other end.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're also building next door. We're adding on to it to build a soundstage for KGRA TV. That we hope we'll be able to get up and running somewhere in the fall and start having programming going with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've got a lot of work to do once we get there. So we're going to be uber busy.
Yes, you will.
July, August, September, October. But it's going to be fun. We're looking forward to it. But as I was telling you briefly in our conversation earlier today, we always go to the National Association of Broadcasters event in Las Vegas, Nevada every year. Mm-hmm. It really is something that if you're serious about radio, it's something that you really should do every year because all of the emerging technologies via be software, hardware, and all that kind, it's all there from around the world. I've said this to many people, you will hear every known spoken language on this planet in that building within that 7-day period. I'm telling you, everybody from all around the world comes. They have three of these a year, one in Vegas and one in New York and one in Singapore. And they have everything from, drones the size of your cell phone you can take out of your pocket, toss up in the air. It'll just hover there and you can dock with it with your cell phone and fly it around. It's got, 1080 HD camera. Everything on it. From that to, like $11 million tractor trailer, semi mobile broadcast trucks for major networks, cars, Cadillacs that are outfitted with booms on them for filming movies and TV and all the latest cameras and all of the latest, softwares and everything that we use in the radio industry and hardware that we use in the radio industry, phones and broadcast equipment and antennas and, digital broadcast software and just everything you can think of is there. And so we go there and try to take it all in, which it's almost impossible to do. and the amount of time that they're there. But we try to get every bit of information we can about the future of radio and the future of video and broadcasting and the internet and the World Wide Web, and get our thumb firmly on the pulse of all that. And then we come back to cover the 31st annual Ozark UFO conference here in Arkansas. So it's going to be an amazing trip here in the next, 4 or 5 weeks. So we're really, really looking forward to this year. We were able to secure a really good lineup.
Yes.
And,
you.
Well, no, it's a joint effort for sure. I just happen to work with these folks, you know. And I'm personal friends with just about all of them mm-hmm. that are on the lineup that I booked this year. And I know, you know, what they're doing. And, you know, then suddenly Stanton Friedman, whom is back for the second year. Last year was his first year. Mm-hmm. Unbelievably. That, you know, Stanton Friedman never, he was actually, you know, we know this, but not everybody knows it. But Stanton Friedman was the very, very first Ozark conference, what came to be the Ozark conference, was held in Fort Smith mm-hmm. and 32 years ago. And Stanton was there. And so it went over so well down there. They thought, well, let's do another one. And they moved it up to Eureka Springs, and there it stayed. And I'm glad it did. For 31 years at the same location, the longest running UFO conference at the same place in the country. And that's a badge, a really important thing that you should always be very, very proud of, that you guys have this thing that has gone on and y'all have worked so hard to keep it going. And when Lou Farish died, you know, a lot of people panicked. They thought, you know, this is the end of it.
Right.
Oh, but Dolores and you guys picked it up and have done just a wonderful job with it and kept it going. And I'm just honored to be a small, very, very small part of it.
Well, like you said, it's a team effort. I mean, we couldn't do it without you. I mean, it takes a lot of people to make this go.
So. Well, it does. And y'all always have an amazing staff every year. You know, the Ozark UFO Conference family, they're the best.
Well, thank you. I mean, thank you. We're a group.
Yeah, you're a fantastic group. But Stanton just here recently announced his retirement.
Just start rumors.
You know, he has been grinding away at this UFO thing for the better part of probably 40 years. I've got to talk to him and find out exactly how long he's been doing it. He's, mm-hmm. He's 80. Let's just say he's in his mid-80s.
Right.
And, and he's getting to where it's harder and harder to go on tour. And he does so many lectures all over the world every year. And, he just decided to go, you know, hang up his gloves. And, I know UFO research will never leave. You know, he's always going to have that passion, and I'm sure he's always going to be around to do some radio interviews and things like that. But just the travel and because he literally hauls all his books.
Oh my God.
In a big suitcase. And then he's got his suits and his clothes that he takes with him in a suitcase. And he just drags his stuff on and off of planes and through terminals and into hotel rooms and in and out of cars he's done.
I know how hard that is. And then you take the books too. Oh my God.
Yes. And he'll get up there and he'll set up his table. He's got it all. You know, he has always had one of the fullest tables of books of anybody out here doing this stuff. You know, a lot of these people that come, they'll have one book or two books. Mm-hmm. I remember Richard Dolan when he just had two books. That's when I met him at the Ozark UFO conference in 2010, I think it was. Gosh, I can't even remember. Seems like.
I also think how long you've been coming.
I have my first conference in Eureka Springs was in 2002, I think.
Okay.
2001, 2002. because the next year we moved to Albuquerque and I didn't come for 2 years. And then when I came back to Arkansas, I was back in 2004, 2005. Then I missed 2006 and 2007. And then I was here for 8, 9, and 10, and 11, and 12, and 13, and 14. And then,
but that's how people do it. That's exactly how people, they know exactly what years they were here and what years they missed. And that's exactly how they do it.
Yeah, and, you know, there's, we've mentioned this last year and the year before and the year before. But, I mean, it is a close-knit family core group that comes there every year. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a big reunion. It really is. And then I've been working with y'all practically ever since you've had it. Mm-hmm. And it has just been a pleasure and an honor. You guys have treated us so well, and I can't thank you enough. But the lineup that you guys have every year seems to do the trick. Everybody keeps coming back and everybody seems to be happy. So, you know, if you've got that, you've done something good.
Yeah, that's, if we can keep everybody being happy, then we'll just all be one big happy family all the time.
Yeah, and now you guys are doing the streaming, which helps a lot of the older folks. Mm-hmm. Because believe me, there were people that came to this conference, 20 years ago, and they were older then.
Right.
And so for them to be able to continue to be connected to the conference,
right,
you know, from their desktop at home is just, it's amazing. So I'm really happy that you guys are able to stream it for those who can't make it.
Yeah, I love that technology is just, you know, keeps advancing like that, that we can do that.
We've got a lot of folks, you know, the regular, the Linda Moulton Howe. Mm-hmm. Richard Dolan has been here mm-hmm. probably 5 times in his career. Mm-hmm. Grant Cameron's been here probably 6 times in his career. We just mentioned Stanton Friedman's first year was last year, and this year will be his last year. but we've got some new faces coming. Nick Redfern is coming.
Right. And
everybody in the UFO community knows Nick Redfern. He has written so many, this guy, I think he writes in his sleep. He's written so many books and covering things from the Men in Black to, real UFO encounters, abductions, and just, I mean, he has covered the gamut with UFOs and deeply investigated and researched every book he's written. So he does such a good job. Mark D'Antonio, he's a new one that really, I think everybody's really going to enjoy. He's very entertaining, but he's very smart, very, very, very well spoken and easy to follow. He'll be up there for 90 minutes and it won't seem like it. It'll seem like 30 minutes. I've seen him speak before and it was always that way with me. Mark is the chief photo video analyst, for the Mutual UFO Network. Mm-hmm. And he's been in MUFON since I think 71, 2 years after they started.
Wow.
He was a little kid, you know, he's a little 12, 14 years old.
My goodness.
Joined and has been a part of it for so long. But he's an astronomer, you know, he's got his degree and, you know, in astrology, astronomy and all that. And so, you know, he's going to do some talks on, exoplanets and the distances and, you know, and what we know about the distances, you know, from star systems and what it's going to take to get there and alien life. And just, it's really a very interesting talk. He is, adding a lot of new content and removing some of the stuff that, he doesn't think that we'll be interested in, which I'm thankful because some of it can get really technical. And I have to tell him, you know, when you do these UFO conferences, you got to kind of dumb it down for folks like me.
Take all that scientific. So he probably speaks at a lot of the ones where they get real scientific and stuff.
Right. Like collegiate and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. He has some amazing lectures, but he really has for the folks who are real down to earth, not quite, you know, like skeptics, but skeptical, mm-hmm. People that are just kind of nuts and bolts. They, you know, they love him. And then the people who are believers, outright believers, love him. So I'm thinking everybody's really going to enjoy Mark. You know, Richard, he is just a phenomenon himself. He just keeps on going. We are lucky in the UFO subject to have such a brilliant and bright man, dedicated to the research and the investigation into the truth regarding the UFO phenomenon. He has always been upright, just like Stanton Friedman, upright and represented this subject so well and so professionally that, you know, he's just one of the ones we have to crown because he does such a good and thorough job in everything that he's involved in when it comes to the subject of UFOs. Just much like Linda. Linda is a journalist, though. That's a whole different breed. Journalists, as you and everyone listening knows, journalists are very dogged. And if you're good at it, you stay with it. You know, you don't just take the bone. You want the whole corpse. You know what I mean? You know? And that's the way Linda is. Her subjects are not centered around UFOs. She does her work on the environment and the earth and, you know, and real X-Files, you know, so science, the environment and X-Files like UFOs and it, like she just did a story on, you know, a lot of concern up in the Northwest in Oregon and up there where a lot of the animals are just not there. The migration birds that migrate there, the insects and stuff, they're just not there. And everybody's starting to wonder what's going on. And it's just it's an earth question. It's a science question. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of stuff she reports on. Right. For us at the Ozark Conference, we are going to get this year military whistleblower revelations about UFOs and alien presence on Earth. Because I don't think that there's any other researcher out there in the public, in the day-to-day public, people out in the open that people know about, know what they do, that know more and that are contacted more by military sources, former military sources, pilots, you name it. I mean, people reach out to Linda Moulton Howe because she is everywhere, coast to coast. She does her show on our station. She has just built a brand new website for earthfiles.com and it's really much more user friendly. That other one, man, was almost like going through microfilm at the library.
Oh no.
You know, you know, she's got almost 3,000 in-depth reports and these things go way beyond the 6 o'clock news. I mean, really well done, well written. She's Emmy award winning, Peabody award winning. She's got shelves of awards that she's won over the years, and they were all very deserved because of the in-depth and professionalism that she puts in everything she does. And she has been at damn near every Ozark UFO conference.
I think she only missed one, she said.
I think so. She's been at every one that I've been at, and I've been at, you know, half of them anyway. This is 31 years and I'm 49. So I was lucky to get in half of them really, you know, with how life goes.
Right.
But just an amazing lineup, you know, and when it comes to, you know, sort of strict ufology and what's going on in ufology. But I really think, you know, outside of Stanton making one of his final appearances, I am almost certain that he'll do the Roswell event in July because he pretty much started that. And I'm sure he'll probably finish there. Yeah. But Grant Cameron from Canada, he's a keynote speaker for us this year. And he's an author and a researcher. And he's going to talk about disclosure. He's just released, I'm thinking this is his third or fourth book. On music and the alien existence within music and alien influence or extraterrestrial influence in music. And, you know, everybody's buzzing about it right now and everybody's running out and grabbing a copy of it. And I've ordered mine and I'm waiting on it to come because I can't wait to to sit down and sink my brain into it, because I know he's been working on this for 3 years. Mm. And, you know, I have helped contribute to a lot of the sources that he got in his investigation. And I have just been tremendously, impressed with, you know, because he's presidential UFOs. He's the guy that had anything. If you ever had a question about a president and UFOs, he's the guy you went to. Mm-hmm. That was his claim to UFO fame. He spent the time in the Eisenhower libraries, in the Clinton libraries, in, you know, Gerald Ford library, Reagan's libraries. I mean, he is the one who has done the archival work, the sitting there and going from document to document and reading, looking for these little nuggets of information that can be derived in regards to ufology. And so he gets all the respect for all of that, because that is something that only a very minute number of people in ufology or in the research of unknown phenomena are willing to do. And Richard Dolan is another one of those, only not quite so much. Stanton Friedman is the king of it. In his day, that's what he did. He went, put on the white gloves and did the digging, you know? Mm-hmm. And, so he has been there and done that alongside Stanton and Richard and Linda and so many others. But, you know, he really has his finger on the pulse, and he is an insider with, you know, Tom DeLonge and this whole, you know, to the stars thing that's going on. And the release of these videos and all, he's got a lot of inside contacts with all of those guys that have, their former government officials and all of that. So I'm looking forward to hearing what he's got to say on all of that. Right. Really. But, you know, I hope that we get to hear and folks will get to pick up his new book there as well. So Grant Cameron, Stanton Friedman, Richard Dolan, Mark D'Antonio, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Redfern, and more. There are so many more coming. Nancy Termaine is coming.
He's an experiencer along with Donna Lynn. Now, one thing that's cool about her, now she put out a book. Now, Grant Cameron is the publisher of her book.
Really?
Yes.
See, that is
awesome. He's got a new publishing company, and he is the publisher. That's the publishing company.
Right, right. Yeah. I didn't know that she had, but, and then there's Tricia.
Yes.
And she's the other keynote speaker this year. Yes. Ooh. And I'm looking forward to, I'm getting up from that booth and I'm sneaking in there for her, for sure. Yeah.
Oh gosh, yes. I mean, Tricia's talks are always fascinating. You know, she brings in this, she always has all these wonderful slides of fascinating material. And so, and she brings wealth of information. So it just, yes.
Yeah, and then the Intrigue Theater, which is new.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to see what this
is. That's a show that's in Eureka, and they've been wanting to come, and this is going to be so much fun, too, because it's interactive.
Oh, really? So yeah. they come get people up on stage and stuff?
Well, I think they interact with you while you're in the audience.
Oh my gosh. Well,
yeah.
I'm going to make sure and hide somewhere.
No one's safe, I don't think. I don't know how it works, but, you know, but they say it's just, it's awe-inspiring. So it's going to be really, really fun.
The last time I was in Vegas, we went to see the Blue Men.
Mm-hmm.
They come out in the audience and get interactive with you. And I mean, it's nerve-wracking. It's nerve-wracking. Those guys, I mean, they're already crazy looking, you know, with big mm-hmm. blue heads and everything. But I'm really looking forward to that. It should be... Mm-hmm. Another well-rounded, well-attended event that everyone is going to be able to learn and engage, from the critical thinker to those with just a new interest in the subject. So,
absolutely. We only have about a minute left. I wanted to mention the dinner with the speakers real quick. We still have, you know, we're not too many, but we still have some tickets left for that. You want to talk about that real quick?
Man, this is something that I look forward to every year. Mm-hmm. You guys really roll out the red carpet for a wonderful banquet, dinner. The food is always great. But what's even better is we get to gather around these big round tables with Grant at our table, or Linda, or Richard, or Chase or any of these speakers. And we get to talk to them and dine with them and ask them questions and just enjoy the moment with good food, good company, in a very relaxed and beautiful environment. It's just wonderful. So if you can hear the sound of our voices right now and you plan on attending the 31st annual Ozark UFO Conference in beautiful Eureka Springs, Arkansas, by all means, grab those banquet tickets while you can, because they will be gone. They will be gone. I mean, I'm sure every day they're clicking away.
Absolutely.
It's one of the highlights of the weekend for sure.
Yes. Okay. So everyone,
I put the pressure on you for a couple of menu changes. You and Nancy.
Yes, you did. And we did change them for your request or demand, whatever you want to call it.
All I know is I'm a big guy and I love good groceries. So I hope everyone else does too.
Yeah, we did. So if you don't like the menu selection, everybody go sit, you know, get on Race. And if you do like it, go thank Race. So anyway, oh, absolutely. Okay. So we're at time, and KGRARadio.com is how you can find Race. That's it, right? KGRA Radio.
It is. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I want to thank BBS for hosting you every week. You do such a good job and they do such a great job, and it's an honor to get to come on here with you.
Oh, thank you again, Ray. So it's an honor to have you, and thank you everyone for being here. We love you, and I'll see you next week, and please come on out and come and say hi to Ray and give him a hard time, because he loves it, and we love you all. Till next week.